becoming a master of yourself. You know, because thought is cause. Your mind is in control of what happens within your body, within your emotions. Your thoughts create your reality. So they control your emotions, which control your actions, which control what the result is of your outward environment. And so if you do not learn how to become a master of yourself, then that means that you will be a slave to what your mind unconsciously is producing to you.
Hello, and welcome to the Mindset and Self-Mastery Show. I'm your host, Nick McGowan, and today on the show, I have Tarak. How are you doing today, man?
Hey, doing well, doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm excited to have a conversation with you.
Me too.
I'm really excited about some of the topics that we can get into. It's interesting because I ask everybody that comes onto the show, everybody fills out the same questionnaire and intake form, and some of the topics are just standard, and I know there's more to get in there, and we do our own research, so I come equipped with things, but there's one thing in particular that I'm really excited for us to talk about, and I guess I'll just push it out here right now so we can get into it, but astral projection and lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with people about some of that before, and some people have said that they have done it. Other people are like, no, it's absolute bullshit. Other people are like, no, you're really just sleepwalking. And it's interesting because I think some people don't fully understand it at all, but this is going to be one of those things where this ties into our mindset. It also ties into the interpretations that we have, maybe not the astral projection, but the lucid dreaming and being able to actually tap into lucid dreaming. Once you figure out, like, I'm actually fucking dreaming right now, like, game on. It's like Inception at that point. So, I'm going to take a little bit of a step back. Why don't you tell us who you are, what do you do for a living, and what's one thing that most people don't know about you that's maybe a little odd or bizarre?
Okay. Well, my name is Tarak Uday. I'm a metaphysical mentor. That's the best way I'd like to put it because I'm not a coach. You know, I'm not going to pull you out the game, you know, tell you what plays to run. I'm not a teacher. You know, I'm not going to fail you or anything like that. You know, I'm just going to mentor. As you need assistance, I'll be willing to provide anything that I can. And so that's what I do. One thing that a lot of people don't know about me, I guess would be that for about 4 or 5 months, I spent every day wondering like if I was going to die that day.
Oh, shit.
Just because, like different health issues and things that I had going on, just would think like, man, is this the moment? Because like I had like a serious heart issue that was going on. I mean, I never went to the doctor because I was too afraid that they might say, you know, you only have 90 days. And, but there would be like whenever my heart would start to act funny, I would like be hanging out with my friends and just sit back and get real quiet thinking like, oh my God, is this the moment I'm about to like fucking die in my friend's living room or like be asleep at night? Like if I died tonight, I wonder how long it'd be till anybody found me. Cause you know, I'm 24 living by myself.
Jeez.
And, so that's one thing that a lot of people don't really know about me just cause there's not really a moment in time to bring it up.
It's not like a, how was your day today? Well, I thought about death 40,000 times today. In fact, I'm thinking about it now. Yeah. And I think about it every day. Okay, cool. Can you pass the taters? Like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
It's interesting. There are some people that think about death often. And that may be because of anxiety. It may be because we just understand that we're mortal, you know? It sometimes takes somebody dying close to you or, you know, somebody you work with or somebody who was in a different department or somebody you see at the grocery store or whatever and being like, wow, I could die at any moment. But I think there's also a level of power where, yes, you could die at any moment. So what do you do with this without being crazy and driving yourself crazy? sometimes that I may be dying right now comes from the anxiety or comes from some traumatic thing or something that's just unprocessed. So did you figure out, like, talk to us a little bit about what that looked like to get to that point, but then also how did you get out of that?
Yeah. So, it's laughable to me now just because like, for example, you know, the laying there wondering how long till somebody found me, you know, I mean, what would it matter? I would have been dead. So who
cares? Yeah.
Yeah. But it kept me up at night, some nights, but, getting through that one was really the initial like journey into metaphysics and things and understanding self, and understanding myself. And, that was really the initiation into all of that movement. It wasn't really what caused it, but just the timeline of it. As I got into it, then I started to approach other things like, you know, learning about like hand chakras and healing with my hand chakras. And it's like, okay, well, let me see, you know, if this book is telling me the truth, let's put it to practice.
Yeah.
I have some serious issues going on. Let's see if it works, you know? And within 30 days it did, you know? And so then that's when it was like, okay, there's something here to this.
Yeah.
And then from that moment forward, like my whole life just shifted as far as like what was important. It was like, you know, I never really watched any TV anymore. Didn't really hang out with my friends the same anymore. You know, nothing really seemed to have any importance other than studying like different metaphysical principles and concepts and putting them to practice to find out, you know, create my own experiments and kind of things.
Yeah.
And that was like all that was important at that point. And so really diving into essentially, yeah, self-mastery. And so that's how I got through that. As far as like a very, you know, macro approach to how I transitioned through that. But yeah, it was pretty intense because I really did face a lot of the fears and really get to the root of the fear of dying and things. And it's funny, like my whole, like I never really thought about it until just now, but my thoughts of death and the belief in that are like the where they are now compared to where they were before then. Couldn't be more opposite. It's hilarious.
I think it also makes a ton of sense. You know, it's like, this is your calling. It seems, you and I have only known each other for 20 minutes at this point. And I looked around, I've seen the stuff that you talk about and like, I can feel that this is your calling. And we talk a lot about callings and purpose on this show, because I think the way that we handle ourselves and the mindset that we have comes from the things that we've experienced and what we've learned and the patterns and all of that. But our purpose is deep within that. Now, sometimes people will think purpose has to be something like fucking Steve Jobs, like change the way things happen, where your purpose could be being a parent. Your purpose could be, you know, something like that. But I think it's those moments where you actually really dive deeper into something and you like lose time. Like think about the flow state that you got into at different times where it was like 6-7 hours later, you're just going down this rabbit hole, exploring all these things. And that's part of your purpose work. It's also not fucking clean all the time. It's sometimes dirty or messy or like, oh, you're going to die constantly. So as you started to work through, what were those initial principles that really stood out to you that, because it, I asked it this way, because you seem like the type where you also have a little bit of like, I don't really believe, but I'll believe when I believe. And then once you believe, you're good. Yeah. Like, game on.
Absolutely.
And I know that there are people listening to this that are like, look, man, I get the principles of things, but I don't want the woo-woo stuff because I'm not fully there yet. There are other people that are like, give me all the fucking things because I know all of this is real. Help me bridge that gap for these people to understand, like, yeah, some of this might sound a little woo-woo, but in all reality, this is scientific universal laws of things.
At the core of all of that is, you know, the universal law of believing and knowing, which is, you know, there's the difference between believing something and knowing something is experience. And that's how I just naturally approached all of this and how I always encourage people, you know, to approach it themselves. Like, for instance, at some point in the show, I'm sure I would have said it, but here I am saying it now, you know, to anybody listening and for you, you know, I don't want anybody to believe a word that I say. Like, that's going to do yourself a disservice to just believe me. And even if it's, especially if it's something that kind of resonates as truth within you, then you're even more susceptible to just relying upon believing whether I'm, you know, telling the truth or not, or whether you're saying something that's truth or not. And so versus doing that, what I always suggest is just be open to it and find ways to create your own experiments. Like that's why I use the word metaphysician, because it's a scientific term. And I encourage people to be a scientist, create your own experiments, you know, conduct your own experiences so that you can discover what's true for yourself, create your own data. Because once you have an experience, then you know something's true or not. Like, for example, there's some people out there that I can talk about lucid dreaming and they're just, I don't believe that, or I do believe that. And there's other people out there that, you know, you could talk about, you know, lucid dreaming isn't real. And like, you know, I just laugh at that because there's no point in even arguing with you. I've had so many lucid dreams. I know that it's real. That's like telling me the sun's not shining right now. You know, I know there's nothing you can tell me different, you know, but if I called you on the phone and said, you know, hey, Nick, it's raining over here. And my neighbor calls you and says, no, it's the sun shining. You just have to decide who to believe. Well, do I believe Tarak or do I believe his neighbor? You know, but if you're sitting here on the porch with me, there's nothing I could tell you to say that it's raining when it's truly not, because you're experiencing it. So that's kind of what I suggest. And that's how I approach things, is create experiences. And also through that, be very clear with myself on what I do know and what I do believe. Because through that, you'll also form very strong beliefs because of other things that you do know. And so, you know, I will always want to be clear on, this is something I know and this is a strong belief. Like, for example, we were talking about death and the belief in immortality. You know, I all but know that it's true. I like that it's such a strong belief. I don't know it, but it is a very strong belief. Because if you look, even the science says, you know, every cell in your body, the oldest cells are in your bones, and those are only 7 years old. So we're already regenerating. You know, we're like Wolverine, but we're just not as fast at it. And so our bodies are only 7 years old. So thus, or the physical body can continue to regenerate perpetually unless the mind tells it otherwise. And so, you know, I do know that to a degree because I've experienced it to a degree. But until I reach, you know, my 300th birthday, then, you know, I probably won't know it until then.
If you get to 300, what is the world going to look like at that point? Systems have to collapse before 300 years. I mean, I guess that's a different thing, but it's
interesting. Or new ones will form.
Oh yeah, they totally will. I mean, that's how this works. Yeah. There are patterns in this thing, and it's interesting, especially with the body. Like, I remember learning that, I don't know, maybe in my early 20s, I went to the doctor and I thought I was dying. Like, I was just oozing from everywhere. And I was like, I don't fucking get why I'm sick. Lady's like, you have allergies. Yeah. I was like, no, I don't. She was like, you do. Like, clearly you have allergies. I was like, no, I don't. I don't have allergies. That doesn't make any sense. And she was like, your body literally is changed every 7 years. So maybe you didn't 7 years ago or whatever, but now you do. I was like, wow, that's interesting. I've also noticed that even with taste buds, there's certain things that you don't like, but then later on you will. At some point, I may be a huge fan of mushrooms. Right now, no thank you. but there are certain people.
Yeah, I used to be allergic to pineapple. Like, I would eat pineapple and it would like literally burn my mouth. Like, I'd be screaming as a child. Wow. And my mom would always laugh at me. I mean, that sounds bad, but she would laugh because I would keep doing it. But I would keep doing it, you know? And so I already know that this is like my 10th time, you know, here it is 5 years into knowing that it'll just burn the shit out of my mouth and I'll just eat some pineapple that she has prepared, knowing I shouldn't. And I'll, and she'll be like, you knew what was going to happen. And then 1 year I was either like 11 or 12 years old and my sisters made some pineapple for lunch. It was during the summer. And I took a bite of one and I stood over the trash can ready because that was my, you know, routine because I knew what was happening and nothing happened. And I mean, I loved it because I loved the flavor of this. Why I kept trying it. So then I just crushed all the pineapple in the house. My mom got home like, Mom, I'm not allergic to pineapple anymore. She's like, I can tell. There's cans of pineapple in the garbage.
It's funny. As you're like drinking it back, you're like, this is great.
It's funny.
Well, I guess even with pineapple, that's a good point that you bring that up, because pineapple, I've read, actually eats us back. Like, there's something within it that's like eating at your tongue. How we can, we as people can just be like, no, that doesn't make any sense. I don't believe that. And then they don't believe that, instead of looking at something and saying, well, maybe it's a possibility, like you're saying with being open-minded. If somebody's never experienced lucid dreaming, maybe they have, but they didn't know that that's what it was called. You know, maybe they didn't understand it in the moment, but it can be as simple as like, we are told certain things as a kid and then we believe those. So we have to be rooted in ourselves enough to be able to go, well, do I believe this or not? And as you work through the metaphysical principles, what things really stood out to you where you're like, that was something that I didn't know that I believed the opposite of before, but now I see this and I understand that there's a whole other world out there. Was there anything that really kind of rocked your world?
Well, kind of ties into the whole idea of death and the approach and swing on that. Early on, within like a year of getting into metaphysics and things, this was probably about 5 or 6 months after I had like healed myself of the heart issue that had been going on for like 2 years. There was like also at the same time, there was like a growth on the back of my head that ended up getting to like the size of a nickel that had been going on for 1 year. And both of those completely eliminated within 30 days of the exercise that I did. But about 5 or 6 months after that, I was doing a meditation, or it might have been like 8 or 9 months. But anyways, I was doing a meditation and, you know, going deeper within. And I was suddenly, my consciousness was suddenly like projected deep within myself to where, you know, I knew myself as existence. I knew of my existence beyond just this physical body, and then beyond my soul and beyond my spirit. And so my real self, my true self. And then, that's like the most I can really explain of the experience. But, from that point forward, there was an awareness of just knowing that there's far more to existence itself and my existence beyond just this physical vessel. Whenever it decides to cease from animating itself within this reality. And so that really did a lot for me. Like I was always scared of the dark, you know, be a grown man coming home from work and have to have a light on. You know, I didn't even notice this until the next day after this meditation, where I would walk in the apartment I had. You know, there's not like a light switch right next to the door. There's a lamp all the way across the room. And I didn't realize I had built a practice of opening the door, leaving it open, because the hall light would show me all and walk all the way to the lamp to turn it on and then go back and close my door. I've been doing this for years and didn't even realize that that's, and then the first time I started to do it, I was like, that's so ridiculous. So then I stopped and turned around. I didn't turn on the light. I just shut the door. It was complete black. It was like 11:30 at night. It was completely dark, pitch black. And so then I just went and sat on my couch and just sat there. And it was just sitting there and like just amazement at how comfortable and at peace I was in the complete darkness. And how that would have, you know, had some anxiety attached to it just 24 hours before. And so, yeah, that's the experience that really initiated a lot of that. And then it kind of created new perspectives and things on like even like astral projection and lucid dreaming. And at this point, you know, really understanding that, you know, regular dreaming, astral projection, and lucid dreaming are all the same experience, just from different perspectives. You know, and a lot of what had to be shattered was originated, like you were saying, with the programming as a child. You know, you have a bad dream and you run to your parents' room, and what's the first thing they tell you to console you? You know, oh, it's just a dream. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's just a dream. You know, when there's so much more to it than that. But we, you know, because we're fearful of what we experienced and we don't want to experience it again, we kind of use that belief to kind of push that away to where, you know, there's a lot of people that I talk to now. They're like, I never dream. It's like, yeah, you dream, you just aren't remembering it, because you know your consciousness is still existing when you close your eyes. Yeah. You know, so it's out there, you know, living life in a different dimension,
living life to the fullest. And it's like, you don't need to know about this, or you can wake up now.
yeah, exactly. But yeah,
isn't it interesting how when you start to really do work on yourself, going back through childhood experiences, figuring out where trauma came from, or why you believe this or whatever, that there are certain times where maybe you'll feel like, oh, I did this thing, I should have gotten more out of it. Or there are other times where you're like, I did a little bit and oh my God, the whole world opened up. It's like, we can't figure out what that pattern looks like because things line up that are kind of locking in place inside of us that we can't consciously understand. But for you to sit in that moment and go, oh shit, yesterday, this wouldn't have happened because of the work that you had done. I bring that up because I want to encourage people that even if you're doing work, understand that there's a fucking ton more work to do, no matter what. It's like the more aware you become, the more aware you become and the more things that you see that you need to do. But there are certain things where it'll just click in for you and it's being hyper aware to be able to do something with it. So when you were sitting in the dark and you realized, like, you were sitting in that awareness of, I'm good, I have this, I'm okay, and this is from this thing. What did you do from that point to be able to enhance that, really strengthen into it? Did you do any sort of experiments? Like, did you find yourself sitting alone 11:30 to 1 o'clock in the morning, just like, here I am and it's pitch fucking black? Or did you just see it kind of start to seep into other things?
Well, it did start turning into like a daily ritual, like, cause I would all usually come home at work that late at night. I was a server at PF Chang's, and I wouldn't get home till like 11:30, 12 or something. So it became like a daily ritual where I would just come home and just sit in that new, because it would remind me of like where I'm at and just how far I've progressed. And it was like evidence of, even though that shift happened, like you said, it's just a little bit happened a lot, but it was also evidence of what I had been doing for the whole year prior.
Yeah.
And just the results of that. And it really just elevated further into, because one thing I did notice pretty early on after that is that, for me at least, and I see it play out in a lot of other people's lives, but it's not necessarily universal. And from my understanding on this, but for me it is, that all other fears were all rooted in the fear of death. Mm. That is at the root of all other fears, you know? And so I was so more at peace with everything. You know, before that, I was especially before I got into metaphysics, I was a very combative person. Mm. I was very confrontational. But there was such a major shift in that. There was already a small shift because I had been doing like some breath work and energy work and mindset things before that meditation happened, that specific one. But after that, it was so easy to just let things go. And if someone believes this or someone says this about, you know, somebody comes up, it's Rock, you a bitch. You know, there's no more like, oh, you're going to prove it today. You know, it's just what you're doing, laughing. Yeah. Like, okay, whatever you say, buddy.
Yeah.
Sure thing. I'll be that. And keep going, you know. And it was just such a major, like, leap in so many ways, in so many things that were rooted in fear and choices that I would normally make that was rooted in fear. And I think it all came from the true root in a fear of dying and no longer existing, you know.
Yeah. But the fact that you were able to take that and see everything for what it was, that is a big thing for everybody to be able to take away from it, because there's a level of grace that we need to give ourselves. It's like, you can do the best that you can do today. You can't really worry about tomorrow or the past, but we still do at times, and anxiety comes from that. But being able to do something in that moment where you see like, oh, well, this is compounded on everything I've done over the past year or 2 years or whatever. I don't think it's smart for us to expect that every single day, because you don't see it, you know. It's like, it's little percentages, but when we do see it, to be able to look at that and be like, all right, great, I'm here. It makes me think of like climbing a mountain. In a sense, you hit these different plateaus and you might think you're there and it's like a false summit almost, but you keep climbing and keep going, but you're still able to rest in that moment and say, this is where I'm at. This is the thing that I've done. But have you noticed that there's sometimes where you'll be in that and there's like 40 other questions that pop up, or 40 other doors, and you're like, fuck, which way do I go? It can be a lot at times, but taking those incremental steps. So let's break this down a little bit, because I don't want to lose people on this, and I don't want to lose the point of what we're talking about. We're talking about metaphysics, and we were talking about astral projection and lucid dreaming, but we've also talked about purpose and trauma, and it's hard not for me to talk about that stuff. But
yeah, absolutely.
Let's get back to the basics here. What is metaphysics, and what is it that we as people can look at each day that we can see the evidence of it in our lives?
The word meta means beyond. So it's just the study of what's beyond the physical. So the mind, the emotions, the spirit, energy. And the more you perceive it, then the more you can gain understanding and awareness of it. And it's also another reason why it's so important to be a scientist yourself, and to not believe anyone and conduct your own experiments, because since it is a science of what is beyond the physical, there's no way to show physical proof to anyone else. You know, I can't show you, Nick, all the lucid dreams I have. I mean, I can pull out the dream journals and show you what I wrote down, but that's not evidence. That's just a story, essentially. That's no more than reading Aesop's fables and telling you those are real, you know? And so, you have to experiment for it yourself. You know, talking about universal laws, we could talk about them all day. I could share with you experiences I've had in understanding those. And then you can maybe kind of correlate with yourself, but the study of metaphysics, it has to be explored yourself. You can only provide yourself with the evidence, because there's no way to physicalize it. You know, physical science does have a lot of like quantum, like the whole quantum mechanics and things kind of explains it, but Even for them, those are all theories.
Yeah, you can't see that.
That they have. Yeah. Exactly. It's all theoretical. And the more that they explore it, then the more experiments that they have reinforcing these different theories and things, but there's still not much physical evidence you can really truly provide for it. So how someone goes about it is basically that, through conducting experiments. You know, the word spirit comes from the word spirare, which the Greek word spiritus, which comes from the Latin word spirare, which means breath. And so if you want to learn and understand more about your spirit, you can conduct those kind of experiments, breathing experiments and breathing practices, and see where that takes you. See how connected to your spirit you become with that. You know, when you go deeper with that, find a powerful breathing exercise, do it for, you know, 10 to 30 minutes every single day for 90 days. But be a scientist, record it, log it. Today is, you know, April 3rd, and I did it at this time and at this date. I mean, this was what the weather was like. This is what I was feeling like beforehand. This was my mental state beforehand. And then afterwards, conduct, you know, write your experiment or your experience, and then write, you know, how you feel now, what you're thinking now, what's your state of mind right now, and really put as much detail and data you can in there. So then at the end of the 90 days, you can go back and see what truly did progress, have a deeper understanding of what you really did experience, and then have more knowledge of what's true and what's not, and how to go deeper with that. You know, there's plenty of ways. Dreams. I mean, dreams, you know, one thing I often share with people with dreams who are like, say, you know, dreams aren't real. It's just, you know, your senses. Until you actually have a lucid dream or an astral projection experience, which, you know, you can always conduct your own experiments to show that it's real. Like when I first started, kind of sidetrack a little bit, with the group that I was starting with, one person would go into the other room and place an object that was never even that they brought with them, and place it on a table. And the rest of us would sit there and project out and walk into the other room and look at the object and come back. I mean, it was early on. So, you know, 90% of the time, 9 times out of 10, you're way off. Or maybe you have like the shape and the color right, but it wasn't really there. But there was 1 out of 10 times where I looked and saw, and it was a globe. And this was the angle of the countries that I saw. And I went back in there and boom, there's a globe that looks exactly like that. And with the same angle of the countries looking back at me. And so it's, you know, I couldn't turn to everybody else. Be like, that's what I saw. And, you know, they, oh, okay, well, I saw a teddy bear, you know, and so they just have to believe me. But I knew because I experienced it. And you do it enough times, then it's no longer a coincidence. It's no longer just random guessing. It's like, okay, there's a science to this. And then when you actually do start to like lucid dream and project, you can stand there looking back at yourself, you know, laying there asleep. And it happens every single time when you do it at first at sleeping. That's where you always start your dream, is in the same room that you're sleeping in. Like there's not a coincidence to that. It's because that's where you very initially start, because that's where your starting point is in your physical body. Then you take off. But one thing that I do share with people about dreams is just first understanding that when you close your eyes, like right now you're seeing everything, the whole entire input of what you're experiencing is happening with your physical senses. That's how you know what you are experiencing in this physical 3D reality we call life. And so in the dream, though, you're not using your physical eyes, you're not using your physical ears, you're not using your physical sense of touch. Those are your astral senses. And so you can start to use those and work with those as you start to work with your dream as anchor points to become lucid and really access more of a deeper awareness of the fact that this is, you know, beyond just the reality. You can start to feel things, taste things. Like I just watched the other night the new Netflix TV show Three Bodies Problem, and they had like this little video game thing they put on their head, and it was more than just virtual reality. Like they would be like blown away because you could reach down into the dirt and taste it, you know. And that's what you can do in the astral, to realize, oh wow, I'm not in my body yet, I can experience everything to the same level and degree as if I was in my body. And some dreams, I mean, I wake up from some dreams, they feel more real than real life, you know. So you can go deeper than that. But yeah,
you know, you talk about science and you talk about like you can't tell us and have us believe just everything. We just have to either accept or not. Yeah, exactly. I've thought before, like it would be awesome. And at some point, I'm sure technology will get here where we can attach something to our brain to then be able to show on a screen, this is what I'm seeing. because as you talked about the globe and the angle, I could make up an image of what that looked like and what the room looked like. And maybe it was close, maybe it was totally off, but like to be able to compare those images. And I know that that stuff is actually true. So there's science that's in it, but then there's also things where people are like, nah, you know, science isn't right, or maybe it's just bullshit, or it's still theory. You know, a while ago, like 150 years ago, people thought that we were the only planet here. And hundreds of years before that, somebody was like, no, we're not. But there were still people that didn't believe it. Yeah, flat earther people. I'll call them out on this show. There's not an edge of the world.
Oh, Lord.
But there's also, there are things that become true because science will tell us. But then there are things that we don't know that are true that are actually still happening. Like there was a CIA experiment, I think in the 60s with astral projection, where they were basically trying to get people to be spies that had powers that could go hundreds of thousands of miles, like all the way across the globe and be able to see documents. This is documented. The government has done that. And, you know, we're not talking about the government as like this positive entity, but we're talking about these people have a lot of fucking money, put a lot of time into this shit. And there's documentation that says it. Just like even stuff with the aliens where people are like, no, we're the only intelligent beings here. I'm like, we can't be. We just can't.
Yeah.
First off, we can't be. And if we are, we're all doomed. But there's also like there are actual documentation of other objects and things that are different. So once people see, and I'm using those extremes because there are certain things, even like how the climate is now. And there are certain things that we see. Like I saw something yesterday, somebody shared a video that was like, the climate stuff is all just bullshit. It's all just a scam. The climate is actually not messed up. And it's like, that might be true, might not be true, but I can't help but think about the stuff that we're putting into the system. That can't be fucking something up. Like God only knows we as 80s and 90s kids have in our systems of processed food and all that shit, the types of cancers we'll have, you know, whatever. But these things have to be either experienced or accepted by us. And we can't do anything until we do that. But I think the big thing you pointed out was actually being the scientists of it. To some people, that might sound like a lot of work where they're like, oh my God. 90 days of this and doing all this notes and all this craziness. I think whatever works for you, just being able to do the work is the thing. But isn't it interesting? Like the more work that you do, the more nerdy you get where you're like, I'm excited about this. Like shit, I was having a conversation with my partner maybe an hour or two ago. I was like, I feel like there's a lot of projects that are going to come in and there's anxiety that I have that I'm working on with my coach and all this other stuff. And I was like, and I can't wait to get into it. She's like, you're kind of kind of a little crazy right now, you know, like without calling me crazy, there's like this excitement, the more work that you do and the more that you see, the more that you can do, but the more that we are able to actually do with the work that we've done. Does that make sense? Or do I sound like a crazy man?
It makes total sense, especially because part of it, the more you do it, the more you see the results of the work that we've done.
Yeah.
And so, you know that, yes, this will be a lot of work, but I also know that the more work that I put in the past, the more I've benefited from it and how I've benefited from it. And I can only imagine where I might be once I benefit from the work I'm about to put in. Absolutely. Trust me, I wholeheartedly understand. I mean, there was a point in my life where like 2.5 to 3 years straight, I mean, I was doing, you know, 30 to 45 minute meditation every day, a 30 minute concentration exercise every day, 30 minute visualization exercise every day, 30 minute astral projection exercise every day, reading from 30 minutes to 2 hours every day. You know, a 5 minute memory exercise, a 5 minute eye exercise. And then the memory exercise only, I got down to like 30 seconds. You know, a 15 minute life force energy exercise every single day without fail, not even missing a single day. And so, I mean, I'm a tourist, so I go kind of extreme with things. So I went kind of extreme with it. And then I spent the next like 4 years doing almost no discipline. So, you know, there is that as well. But what drove that was the results that I was getting from it, you know, cause I didn't start out that much. You know, started out with like, you know, write down my dreams every day, every morning and do a 10 minute concentration exercise. That's how I started. And then it ended up getting to that, but it was so rewarding and so fulfilling that it was easy. It didn't sound like the task that it might have sounded to a lot of people listing all of that off, or even to myself now, because I don't do that now to that degree. you know, more so now, I just try to incorporate it as much into my life as I can. Like I said, doing a 30-minute breathing exercise for 90 days. Well, you're already breathing. So just find a way to do a breathing exercise while you're doing other things. So instead of maybe just like a where you're breathing like that for 30 minutes, you know, maybe just do an exercise where there's a technique that I really love where you try to find the point where the inhale turns into the exhale and the exhale turns into the inhale. And you'll notice that you'll find the precise moment because something will change within you. And so you can just spend 30 minutes, just whatever you're doing, just doing that also. You know, I mean, one of my best basketball games that I ever played, I went like 29 for 30. I couldn't miss. I was throwing up shots just to see if I could miss, but it was a result of doing that same technique for like the previous 3 days. And the whole entire time I was playing, instead of like the breathing being in the back of my mind and what I was doing in the forefront of my mind, what I was doing was in the back of my mind and just focusing on my breath was in the forefront. So I was aware of what was going on and my teammates laughing about it because they would just pass it the ball and just stand there and watch, you know, and the frustration of the other team. Like I've been that frustrated guy where it's like, this guy, you can't stop him from making it. I was never that guy, but today I was that guy. And, but it was just from the breathing, but it was just doing something that I was already doing. So if you feel like it's a lot of work or I don't have time for it, I am all about finding ways to incorporate these into your life. Like when I teach meditation, there's really only like one meditation I teach that's like sit down and close your eyes. I mean, there's others that I'll offer to people, but truly, I don't really like, you know, sitting down still mind meditations. You know, I do teach it, but mostly I like active meditations, you know, meditations that you can do with an activity. Because for most people, you know, the nature of the mind is motion. So they need some motion in order to begin. It's like training wheels, you know, and so that's a lot better and it's a lot easier. And for most people, you get more out of it. And especially with, you know, not having as much time in our society and life, you know, where you need two to now three incomes to live, you know, then you have to find ways to, you know, incorporate it in, you know, the things that you're doing throughout the day.
Yeah. I think of the people that make excuses, and it's not just one specific type of person, but I think all of us make some sort of excuses at some point of like all the things you rattled off. I could almost guarantee there's somebody that's listening. It's like, holy shit, this is so much. I don't want to do any of it. There were people that are like, all right, I do a couple things, but then they start to feel shame from it of like, well, maybe I'm not doing all these things. It's us really taking the time in the moments to be able to do those things. And as the excuses come up, look at it, see it for what it is.
Yeah.
Is that a truth? Yeah. Like, are you like, well, I have four kids and I have to make sure these kids are fed, living, clean, able to go places, have shoes or whatever. And it's like, all of that is true. But what do you do in addition to that to help yourself to then help those kids as well? And being able to see it, or at least changing your perspective with it a little bit. And like you're saying, there are certain things you can do where people, when they think of meditation, for the most part, they think of Buddhist monks just sitting there for hours, just meditating and just drifting off in the astral, wherever they want to go for hours. Yeah, and they're like, oh, I don't have hours to do that. But what you're talking about is being able to do it within things. I realized maybe about 2-3 years ago, I like to collect sports cards and memorabilia, and there's so many different variations to it and just organization and all that. That's meditation for me. When I go through and I'm organizing or sifting through, that's a meditative state for me. I play music as well. That's meditative. There are certain people that maybe those two things align with them. Maybe it's something different. Maybe it is reading. Maybe it's sitting outside or going for a walk. We can find those moments within the moment itself. It's just looking at it and having that different perspective of it. So what sort of advice would you give to somebody that's on their path toward self-mastery having to do with metaphysics?
One, you know, discipline is the highest form of self-love. And so just incorporate some form of discipline. And I'm not saying, you know, find an exercise to do, but just be regular in your approach, because any progression is progression and growth. And just also know that, you know, we're talking about self-mastery. And that's one thing that really attracted me to this show, because that's what I'm all about, is self-mastery and what that truly means. Really look at the words and break that down. Becoming a master of yourself. know, because thought is cause. Your mind is in control of what happens within your body, within your emotions. Your thoughts create your reality. So they control your emotions, which control your actions, which control what the result is of your outward environment. And so if you do not learn how to become a master of yourself, then that means that you will be a slave to what your mind unconsciously is producing to you. And when you put it that way, a lot of people are like, well, I definitely don't want to be a slave, you know, because the mind's meant to be programmed. So if you aren't taking active control in programming your mind in the way you want it to be programmed, then it'll be programmed for you through either, you know, the television programs that you watch and movies and music that you listen to, the people in your environment that you listen to and talk with and heed their advice, the indoctrination that you receive from the different religions or spiritual dogmas or schools and education that you received, or from your family and background and environment. Those things will be in control in mastering you if you do not learn to master yourself. So that's the main thing that I would suggest. But touching on what you were talking about with meditation real quick also, because I think this is very key for anyone to be able to find, because I'm sure at any point, I mean, if you're at least 22 or older, then I'm certain, I guarantee at some point in your life, you can understand and relate to what you were describing of this was like a meditation to me. I was very centered and at peace with myself from that. And so what I would suggest is to understand that meditation is not an activity. Meditation isn't something you do. Meditation is a state of being. And the activity, the purpose of the activity is to put you into that state of being so that you can resonate and be meditating. And then the key is from that activity. So you know, when you sit down and close your, like just a traditional meditation, when you sit down and close your eyes, that's not when the meditation begins, even though you're meditating for, you know, let's say 30 minutes. The meditation doesn't begin when you close your eyes. The meditation begins after the 30 minutes when you open your eyes. Because the meditation and the feeling that you feel has no purpose for you when you're sitting in the corner of your room or in your closet doing that exercise. That the ability to create that feeling and hold that feeling moving on forward throughout your day, that's when the meditation begins. How long can you hold that feeling throughout your day? Because when you're in the middle of traffic, or when you're, you know, in a meeting with your boss and you made a mistake and they're letting you know about it and how to correct it, those are the moments when you need the meditation. And so by first identifying, well, what ways do you naturally meditate and become in and find yourself in a meditative state? And then just be a scientist, reflect back and think about how you got to that space. How can you use your willpower to hold that space? Because the more you can understand the mechanics of it in those times when you're kind of closed off and you know, working with your trading cards and, you know, like opening up some new packs and things, putting them in their sleeves and things like that, and talking to other friends about what you just got, what they just got. And the more you can understand how you got into that state, then the easier it is when you're having a disagreement with your partner and, you know, they're in the other room and, or you walked off or they walked off, and then, you know, you're all up in your emotions and things. How can I now, when I need it the most, how can I then recreate that feeling for myself? Because that is where the purpose of meditation is for. It's not for the 30 minutes or the residual waves afterwards. It's the ability to hold that state throughout the day, every day.
Not an easy thing to do, but definitely something that gets easier in time as you do that. And I'm glad that you pointed that out, because yeah, for me, it's cards or playing music or whatever. And for different people, it's different things. If they align with that, if they align with what you align with, beautiful. It is seeing in those moments that there are things within that moment that you can use in other moments and being able to be calm. I've noticed for myself that there's a lot of anxiety and traumas and triggers from past things that have happened. I think most everything, if not everything at all, fucking stems back to childhood. And being able to realize yeah. that, and by being in that practice, you're then able to do something, even if it's slightly different in that moment. Instead of reacting in a certain way, you go, oh, I feel really upset right now. And you get to do something instead of just being like, oh, well, fuck you. Shit. Can't take that back. You know, like there are ways that you can go about it a little differently. But sometimes you also have to go, hey, fuck you. Fuck. I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
And then you learn from it and you continue to work on it. So Tarok, it has been awesome, man. I appreciate you being on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And getting into everything we've gotten into. Before I let you go, where can people find you and where can they connect with you and where can they buy one of the many books?
most centralized place is awakenwithin.us. Awakenwithin.us. You can find all of my socials on there. You can find links to the books. I also have another page on that website where all of the recommended metaphysical books that I have, well, not all, but you know, the ones you can find on Amazon, at least. there's others that you can find on Amazon, but they're so rare. It's like $600. Yeah, so I didn't put those on there.
Any in like Sanskrit.
yeah. And you also can, there's also a link on there when you first pop up. The very first link is to the Metaphysical Mastery community, where it's a free community. I have a ton of free resources. You can also go on there and share your dreams, and myself and the other mentees would provide an interpretation for you to help you out with that. The Dream Symbol Glossary is one of the resources on there, but there's, you know, tons of other resources on there. A whole bunch of ebooks, spiritual ebooks on there as well, but just a lot of resources. And so those are the different ways you can kind of connect with me. Through the metaphysical community, metaphysical mastery community, you can also, you know, reach out to me directly on there for any insight that you have or are requesting or, you know, would like.
Cool. Well, yeah. He's letting you know. Yeah. Slide into his DMs, everyone. Have at it. Man, I appreciate you being on. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been an honor. Thank you.